When someone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I have a wonderful artifact that I found this week, and it is a bulletin from Christ Church from June 8th, 1997. Now, why would you keep a bulletin from June 8th, 1997? Well, you see, there was this girl I knew, and we had met at a bookstore, and we started talking about the Book of Common Prayer, and I said I went to Christ Episcopal Church, and wouldn't you like to come with me sometime? Well, I usually throw those out, and they never worked, but one day, I was sitting in the back, she was sitting about right over there, and she came to church. So I saw this as an opportunity. So I happened to have a book around, and Evangelicals on the Canterbury Trail, you guys remember that, probably. Well, I went up to her, and we began to talk. Great to see you at the bookstore. And I've got this book, by the way. Would you like to have coffee sometime and talk about it? Well, what do you think she said? She said yes. She wrote her phone number right there. And 25 years ago in July, we got married right there. So, this is a homecoming for me, for sure. And I'm so glad to be here with you. So glad that Father Terry asked me to come. Well, the late Orthodox Bishop Callistos Ware was asked, what are the issues that are going to be prevalent for Orthodoxy in the 21st century? And he said, well, the 20th century, these are Orthodox, so we had to worry about the Eastern Europe thing, we had to worry about Russia, what is the church was really the question. And then, but for the 21st century, he said, the key question will be not what is the church, but more fundamentally, what is the human person? What is the human person? That is prophetic. There's a lot of confusion about what is the human person. So he's right, and not just for Orthodox Christians, but all Christians. And as Christians, when we are dealing with a God, who is a God in three persons, and when we reflect on the Holy Spirit like we've been doing, that question of the human person becomes all the more important. So in a few verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, some we've heard today, Jesus shows us just what the nature is of the human person, and then some. Now, of course, without a doubt, Jesus' transfiguration is an obvious manifestation of his deity. He is God incarnate, and there you see it on the mountain. Notice the contrast between Moses' experience in Exodus and Jesus. Moses' experience, the glory comes from about, from without, whereas with Jesus it comes from within. His glory is a part of who he is. Moses and Elijah are deferring to Christ. The discussion they are having with him shows that Jesus is the one who is leading the way. Jesus is the one who has the plan, and they are being let in on that plan. Interesting also, remember Moses asked the Lord, I just want to see your face. You remember that? And the Lord said, no, You can see the back of me, but not my face. No one can see my face and live. Well, here's Moses' opportunity at last. Beyond death. Now that is mysterious, is it not? He sees the glorified face of God for the first time. And the voice of the Father acknowledges the divine sonship of Jesus as the Spirit overshadows them all, symbolized by the cloud. Peter, James, and John experience the witness not of just anyone, but of the Holy Trinity, telling them who this person is. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And there's a subtle but important phrase that may pass us by. Now, Peter and his companions, Luke writes, were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. But there's a note in your Bible that gives an alternate reading for since they had stayed awake, which is, but when they were fully awake. In other words, see the symbol there. It's as if the disciples fell asleep in one realm and they woke up in another. It's as if they fell asleep in the natural world and woke up in a supernatural world. It's as if scales fell from their eyes. They fell asleep in something that was actually unreal and woke up in the true and real world, seeing reality for the first time. Christ was always full of glory, but he had to hide it. And here the disciples were able to see it. Heaven, just for a moment, came on Mount Tabor. The ordinary mountain became, as Peter wrote later, the holy mountain. So the story says so much about Christ's deity, his identity. But it also does answer that question, what is a human person? Everything that Jesus was on the mountain, human beings are destined to be. Those who follow him are destined for the same thing. The human person is created in the image and likeness of God. The human person is created to be face to face with others and with God. That doesn't mean that we become gods. We are creatures, he's God. But what God is in his character, we can be. Gregory of Nyssa said, man is a little world in himself and contains within himself all the elements which make up the universe. The destiny of the human person is to be enveloped in the Spirit of God, to be every bit as glorified as Christ was on the mountain. Remember what Paul said last week. We are predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. What a beautiful thing. Paul also says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. This is the destiny of all who put their trust in Christ. But we're still bound to this world. We live in a world of distraction, far away from the good, the true, and the beautiful. Sometimes it looks untrue. Sometimes it looks bad. Sometimes it looks ugly. I love our collect. Do we not need to be, as it says, delivered from the disquietude of this world? Remember when Jesus did come down and the three disciples from the holy mountain, the disciples were suddenly confronted with a family who had a son that was demon-possessed. And what happened? They were unable to cast it out. Then, get this, an argument broke out among the disciples as to who was the greatest. Jesus took a child and reminded them, be like this. But then, they were full of judgment when they saw that the Samaritan village would not welcome Jesus. And what did they say? Shall we bring down fire on them? And on it went. Sarah and I took a trip to the Holy Land a few years ago, and we took the bus ride up to Tabor, Mount Tabor. Very scary bus ride, by the way. But there are several things I remember from that. Beautiful when we got to the top, of course. But during the bus ride, ascending, there were two teenage boys sitting across from us. And we had learned from their family that their family had pretty much paid everything for them to go on this trip. So the two teenage boys had what all teenage boys have right now. They had their phones! And they were playing games on their phones as we were ascending Mount Tabor. Then on the way down, I noticed when we got to the bottom, looking around the area, at the bottom of Mount Tabor is a junkyard. Just a whole bunch of old, useless cars. Rows and rows of useless junk. Isn't that a symbol? Isn't that a symbol? An experience with raw holiness and a place that has stood the test of time. And yet we always bugger it up. Deliver us from the disquietude of this world. It's there everywhere. It's distraction. It's junk. For the disciples, it was failure, arrogance. 3 seconds after they had seen the transfigured Lord. And there is us, always finding ourselves once again grieving, quenching the Holy Spirit of God, as Father Terry and Father Joseph have reminded us. So what do we do? What do we do? You know the story of, C.S. Lewis's Great Divorce. And I won't rehash everything, but suffice it to say, a summary is people from earth are given an opportunity to try out heaven, to see if it works for them. But the vast majority of these characters can't take it. They are already in a ghost-like, kind of insubstantial state. They're dead, by the way. But when they walk, the grass hurts. The sun is too bright for their eyes. And the more time they spend there, the more they hate it. And they become more and more like ghosts, to the point where they almost disappear. But we do not realize is the more we gravitate towards pride, toward arrogance, towards immorality, towards greed, the more we lack love for our neighbor, the less human we become. We become more ghost-like. And what we need is the Lord to change us, to make us what we were meant to be, to make us human. Erasmo Leiva, a commentator, says, within Christ, and blazing forth from him comes the glory of God as a refining fire that burns away the dross of our souls. Everything incompatible with his holiness. Only thus will our persons produce abundant light and so become one with his divine fire. Is not that what we want? Become one with his divine fire. It's like the desert father who said, would you just be a fire, consumed with the Holy Spirit. So what brings us closer to that? Well, the easy answer, it's kind of a Sunday school answer, sorry, it's love. But it's not just any love. It's not the ooey-gooey love. It's not the cultural love. It is supernatural, Christ-like love. What did Jesus say before he went on the mount? He said, if anyone would follow me, he will take up his cross and follow me. What did he say after the transfiguration? If anyone would be my disciple, he or she must follow me to the cross. Take up their cross and follow me. See, Jesus had in mind the entire time, showing them what true humanity was. Part of it was that foretaste of glory. The other part of it was the journey to Jerusalem. Our presiding bishop has made famous the phrase, if it is not about love, it's not about God. But I would alter that a bit to say, if it is not about God, it's not about love. God's love is of a different kind. It is of a different degree than ours. Love is the answer to our becoming more human, but not fake love. Not love that is only desire. Our love must be like Christ's. But we have to look outside of ourselves to love like that. We need his transformation. We need the cloud of the Holy Spirit to envelop and change us. Then things happen. We see with his eyes. We walk with his feet. Love is love when it is Christ-like, giving our all to the other, seeing others as Christ sees them, laying down our very life for them. It is supernatural love. It is cruciform love. It looks a lot like my favorite quote from St. Isaac the Syrian. Let yourself be persecuted, but do not persecute others. Be crucified, but do not crucify others. Be slandered, but do not slander others. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be afflicted with sinners. Exult with those who repent. Be a partaker of the sufferings of all. Rebuke no one. Revile no one. Not even those who live very wickedly. Spread your cloak over those who fall into sin, each and every one. And if you cannot take the fault on yourself and accept punishment in their place, do not destroy their character. Paradise is the love of God, wherein the enjoyment of all blessedness. The person who lives in love reaps the fruit of life from God, and while yet in this world, even now breathes the air of the resurrection. Christ's love brought him to the cross. As he and Moses and Elijah were speaking, Luke says they were talking of his departure. And that Greek word is actually Exodus. The cloud that enveloped his mother at the Annunciation. Go back and look at Luke 1 and see how interesting that is. That cloud followed him to his baptism, led him to the desert, covered him at the transfiguration. All of that was the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who ultimately led him to Calvary. The Spirit guides us too He shows us how to be human. He guides us in our own unique path of love, a path of His choosing, if we will just allow it. So ask Him this week to show you, what is that path of love that I must walk? Because the person who lives in love reaps the fruit of life from God, and while yet in this world, even now breathes the air of the resurrection. Amen.